Whoop, there it is. The party is on, only just for a little bit. EG3 show, the garage is open. Eddie Greer III checking in with the EG3 show. All about the world of NASCAR, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, Camping World, Truck Series, three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. You wonder why I'm celebrating. Yes, MTJ, the Furniture Row Boys, do it once again. Pretty much making a statement yesterday. I'll dive into that right when I get into this episode. Of course, as well, Camping World Truck Series was off this past weekend. They'll be in action coming up at Michigan in the Xfinity Series once again at Pocono as well over the weekend, which turned out to be quite an interesting show. Kind of, well, let's not scratch off kind of. Let's just put off. The package was not what we expected. I know it's only the second time the Xfinity Series has run that package, but definitely kind of like, pretty much like the Pocono that we used to seeing. Pretty much was boring, and yes, a familiar name, cash in victory lane. But big story coming out of this weekend, Martin Truex Jr. making his presence known, or really making a huge statement, putting it down yesterday, closing it out. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, the Kyle and Kyle show, Larson finishing second, and of course Kyle Busch in the third spot. But what I've been telling you guys all up until this point, Martin Truex Jr., he's been right there, or he's already got that win at Fontana. I mean, even if Kevin Hart was in that race, I mean, we never, like DW said in the broadcast yesterday, we may never know what would happen at Fontana. We don't know what would happen at Charlotte. We definitely now, I mean, we kind of know everybody was out there. The big heavy hitters were out on that tricky triangle yesterday. Harvick, Busch, Truex, all of them right there in the top five. One poor or another, but pretty much all of them were there, like 85% to 90% of the time yesterday in that race yesterday. And Harvick, yes, he had a strong car yet again. Childers, Harvick left frustrated, maybe more so than Childers, because they have lost control of the race. Kevin Harvick said that probably 10 times yesterday. He had definitely probably the stronger car, but when you look at the three cars, 4, 18, and 7, 8, yesterday, just focusing on yesterday, they're all right there together. And the 78 passed the 4 to win stage 1. And, of course, what happened after that? Pit crew struggles again. And then this has been the calling card of this 718 pretty much for the last 3 years, maybe going back 4, to when they were still a Chevrolet. This is their calling card. They rally back when they have tough times, really mainly on pit road, or occasionally Martin speeds on pit road, whatever. But we go back to this team. This is their calling card. When they fall behind, or when they face adversity, they get up on the wheel, Martin does, and drive his ass off to get back to the front. He did it. Coca-Cola 600. He had the second best car there, but probably had the best car at the end of that race at Charlotte. He said it in his post-race there interview yesterday, and then coming back here, I mean, he said they did not have winning speed, even though they were right there. We didn't have winning speed. Well, I don't know what is, because if that's not winning speed from yesterday, I sure as hell don't know what is. But yes, celebrating here today a little bit. It's Martin Truex Jr., my guy, gets in victory circle for the second time this season. And yeah, pretty much that's a bold statement right there, if not anybody, because probably except for me, everyone's sitting back in their lawn chairs saying, oh, yep, 4 and 18 are going to be a lock. Even I said that a little bit, but I've included the 7-8 in my conversations, maybe because 95% of it, maybe because I'm a Truex fan. But everybody else is kind of tuned that out and focused heavily because, yes, you know, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick won 9 of 13 races this year, and, oh, they're going to run away with this championship, whatnot. But look, this 718 has been right there. They've been cranking out top five, the top five throughout the month of April. This team is right there with the 418. And even in that month of April, you go back, Truex, you know, yes, he had bad luck. And in that, he had a chance to win Richmond and did not get it done because of the struggling pit crew, which they still need a little bit worked on here. Hopefully, they get themselves right for what it counts. But it's been well documented. The pit crew has been struggling. You know, they have new pit members, whatnot. And performance on track is right there. But if anything else, that's a big-time knock-knock to Harvick and Kyle Busch saying, hey, and oh, by the way, I'm the defending champion of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. But, you know, in case we've forgotten. But I'm sure it's in the back of their minds. And MTJ making it happen. And he was right there in the... And pretty much the game changer of this race was the second to last caution of this race. Kyle Busch decides to pit after going back last year, I guess, when he said in his post-race conference that, you know, staying out beat lost the race to Blaney. When Blaney won his first cup race last year, stayed out. So why not? Let's just change it up, go in, Harvick, and... Truex stayed out. Kyle Larson stayed out. Also, Kyle Larson finished in a runner-up spot. And that car was a 6th to 7th place car. Maybe a top 5 car, really. But yes, I'll probably rank that 6th to 7th, whatever you want to call it. EG3 Show post-race reaction, Pocono style. 80 degree to 3rd here, we guys, this evening. Breaking it all down here. 7-8 going back to victory lane. And again, for the second time in some 4 years, Truex goes back to victory lane at one of his quote-unquote plethora of home tracks. But I tell you what, Truex couldn't hit the side of a barn when he got to Pocono early in his career, you know, struggling at this place. You know, he says he loves it and whatnot, but all of a sudden when he hits Furniture Row, this cat is running up front, top five, and strong, awfully strong, and that is right up there. That car, he said it was good on scuffs, and it proved to be right. He just checked out. And, oh, man, when that Denny Hamlin caution came out yesterday, I was like, oh, man, oh, gosh, here we go. Something's crazy going to happen. Truex going to get off to a bad restart, whatnot. Kyle Larson on the inside. Oh, my goodness, what is going to do? You know, and we know going back to last year with Larson and Truex, the restart at Michigan, Larson made that bold move on the restart. And speaking of which, Kyle Larson is going to go 4 in a row coming up this weekend at Michigan. That's going to be a story to follow, to watch. But Truex was perfect pretty much on restarts. And Cole Pearn, he said he guessed. And I like the move. Even less than 24 hours from that win, fresh off that win, I still like the call. I mean, he had a strong car on a short run. And it proved to be bad. And he checked out when he got that fresh, clean air out front. And that 7-8 checked out on the field. And then craziness happened. When I talked about restarts on the preview show and whatnot. Erik Jones, you know, spins out right there. Makes contact on the wall. We do it again. And that was really, really tight. Oh, I thought Larson was going to get him bumped. Going in the back bumper, and Truex is going to get loose, and we're going to have all kinds of hell breaking loose here. But Larson let him in, and Truex held him off. And then Kyle Larson noted in his press conference yesterday, he said he got loose from Kyle Busch. It's on from there. And also what helped him out, what Truex out a little bit probably, was the fact that Harvick and Kyle Busch battled it out for a little bit, for that third position, which Kyle Busch overtook Harvick there, by the way, and that was that. But that was all short. Pretty much what Jeff Gordon, D-Dub, were talking about, control of the race, control on the race. And MTJ, when he got out front, he wouldn't have none of that. And he was ticked at one point or another. And it just, I ran across a tweet earlier today. I have not been on Twitter today that much today. I've been on the road for work, but when I did hop on, I saw a tweet come across my timeline, sent one of those tweets saying that Truex got pissed off because of a lap down car. Well, let me correct you on that. That was not a lap down car. Bowman was on the lead lap, and so was William Byron, the back half of that Hendrick duo. And, you know, he got pissed off at Bowman because Bowman was doing all that blocking, and William Byron had something to do with it also. So Martin said he's done that. That's not the first time he said that over the radio. Now we've heard this, you know, over the years, especially for those of you who are MTJ fans like myself. But over that, he overcomes that, gets past Bowman. Now it's that, but that those cars were not a lap down cars. Those were racing for position, and Bowman had a competitive car, and he had contact with Denny Hamlin late in this race. Denny Hamlin had a top 10 coming for him, but he and Bowman had a little bit of action going on late in that race, and Hamlin did not speak to the Fox reporters afterwards, so I can imagine why. Very disappointed coming out of there, especially off a third place run coming off the Coca-Cola 600, but the Hamlin ends his day, promising top 10 day, in the garage. And then you go down the line here, talk about some other players other than who had some good, interesting day. Joey Logano, I believe at the end of stage one, pitted when the pits were closed, went a lap down, ran out of gas because they did not get enough fuel, ran out of gas, and still rallied back. Finish in the top 10. I believe all Penske cars did finish in the top 10. Of course, in another storyline coming out of this race, the Chevys continue to rise up. Jimmy Johnson leading his first laps of the season. So I guess I don't have to talk about Justin Marks leading Jimmy Johnson anymore. That kind of sucks. But oh well, I kind of knew it was coming sooner or later. The 48 continues to perform at competitive pace now. And Chase Elliott also with a good run yesterday as well. And then Bubba Wallace, 1 year anniversary of his upcoming party at Pocono, ends in disappointment with an engine failure, missed the shift. And Bubba said, the king told him that you're going to need to get, we're going to get you an automatic transmission here so you can work with. Maybe I was kidding, but yeah, so Bubba Wallace finishing right back in a pack right there. And how about Roush Fenway Racing as well? Take a look around the field. I'll go get to the full field rundown here in just a bit. But Matt Kenseth, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., top 15s all around. Kenseth quietly 13th, Ricky Stenhouse finished in the 14th spot, so Biddy hit here, a little bit here, a little bit there. Roush Fenway here trying to get something going. Obviously, we talked about that in the past. Matt Kenseth started deep in the field, worked his way up a little bit. Stenhouse with a poor qualifying effort as well, still able to get to a top 15 finish. With that said, and also shout out to Chris Buescher and David Reagan. David Reagan continuing to put down some good finishes. 16th for Front Row Motorsports. And Chris Buescher was at one point or another was a lap down in this. And with those late cautions late in this race, all panned out for that 37. He finished in the top 20 as well. But got to turn around, go back to this three-headed dragon between the 4, the 18, and the 78, like I mentioned earlier. EG3 show, Eddie Greer the 3rd, here with you guys. Post-race reaction this evening of Pocono. Full field in just a few minutes. But Truex definitely with this win. Had to make some kind of a statement, and he did exactly that. And pretty much, if Martin says they're almost back to normal with the way that it was last year, I mean, everything was pretty much, I wouldn't say like 100% false, but it was like, man, these guys were like on point each and every week with the speed of the race cars, leading all these laps, getting stage points. And this year, you know, it's been different. They've had to battle from adversity more, like he said, than last year. That I agree with for sure, especially in that month of April. That was rough to see him go through that, especially with fast race cars. And we never know if he finishes out Texas, because he was running second to, I believe it was Harvick, either Harvick or Kyle Busch. I can't remember at that point. I want to say Harvick for sure because he was competitive until late. He was going to get stage points there, but he wrecked out with the tire issue there. And, of course, I mentioned Richmond. He should easily have three wins right now, if not for Kyle Busch taking advantage of that. Kyle Busch taking advantage of that mistake. And then Harvick had led the most laps and did not get the job done. Mark Truex Jr. closed the deal on that deal. So, I guess it all for naught there. And Martin Truex Jr., I know it's not like a big deal or anything, but Hart passes Harvick, grabs one of those stage points away from Harvick, so that's huge in another stage, even though Harvick did win stage two in that. And Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, now locked up 25 stage points apiece heading into Michigan this weekend. So again, the battle continues, but you got to throw in now. You have to throw in a 78 in there now. And the stats back it up. All these top fives he's racking up. It's unbelievable. I mean, this run that Mark Truex Jr. and Cole Pearns on has been amazing, to say the least. And we're far from over from the season being wrapped up, but definitely, you know, if you want to say it now, if everything stays on course through the treacherous rounds, I mean, the 4-18 to 7-8 they met a year ago in the championship four. If everything lines up the way it is, I mean, we're a long way from that. I mean, we've seen teams improve as the year goes along. I talked about a little bit the summer months of who's going to step to the plate. Well, if anything, if everybody shot a 7-8 now with this win yesterday, second of the year, you better put them in this conversation, because you can't ignore it now with all these top fives that he's just been just racking up, change after change, just raining down top fives. So you got to put them in there. I can't see why not. Obviously, Kyle Busch, these three are all champions of the sport. And I agree, the fourth spot right now is wide open for the taking. I mean, Joey Logano has a good week one week and then comes out of the gutter struggling. And team makes a mistake not putting in full gas tank full of fuel. Too many Fs there. And then Keselowski has not gone to victory lane. Ryan Blaney he led early on in this race. He's had moments this year where he's had the dominant car. Logano's had a win under his belt. He had to rise the struggles of Jimmy Johnson early. Now he's trying to turn it around here. Chase Elliott, we're still waiting on that elusive win in Michigan, one of his best racetracks. Can he get it done this weekend? So that fourth spot, yeah, I agree with everybody else. It's wide open for the taking. If we had early odds on who's going to be the championship four in Miami in November, we're a long ways away from that. But at the pace we are now, this has been 4-18 to 7-8. They've been the marksman cars for the last 3-4 years. And this shouldn't be no surprise. I don't know why this year, for some reason, the 7-8 is a surprise. Or they've been there. I think people are ignoring the fact, I mean, just because, you know, 7-8 ain't getting all the stage points and whatnot, that they're struggling. I mean, media people say he's been struggling. I'm like, come on. I mean, he's been there, but they don't have the winning wing. They haven't led all the laps. But, you know, if anything, yesterday, when you put Mark Truex Jr. out front in clean air, he'll slam the door on you. And he slammed the door on Kyle Larson yesterday. And yes, everybody's saying, again, I'm bringing up the dreaded fact, Larson. He's the man at Homestead, you know. But Larson, I know this is looking way in a crystal ball. I'm sorry. But Kyle Larson, he's led the most laps in the last two, maybe three Homestead races and has yet closed the deal in any of them because of the championship cars. In that example, last year, Kyle Larson could have easily passed Truex and disposed Kyle Busch too, but he laid back because he wasn't in that. And if he was, it could have been this restored, but it ain't. And Truex, he laid it down last November, that dramatic drive to his championship. So, I mean, three, yes. I mean, everybody was talking about Harvick, are dead set on Harvick and Busch. Put your lawn chairs out. Even the broadcast yesterday, that was kind of annoying hearing that. And then as the race went on, they're starting taking notice that 78 it is right there. And I tweeted out yesterday, that after that win, they better stay woke, because for sure, after that, if they're not woke already, they better stay on alert, especially as summer rolls on, because I don't think that 7-8's done yet when races. If they can get on roll, we know Truex can get on a roll. Just look at the playoffs last year. So the three-headed dragon is definitely those three. And if we see anything else, I mean, the 10 has to be consistent. Almirola and these Chevys better continue to pay attention to them, because they continue to improve. And I want to see more consistency, and they continue to get it done. The 48 led by that 48. Of course, Kyle Larson with a great drive the second with all that. So there is that right there. EG3 Show, Pocono 400. Full field runs like this. Thanks for tuning into the post-race reaction of Pocono. Bubba Wallace, shotgun, 38th. Matty Benedetto had a brake issue late, 37th. Casey Kane, disappointing, 36th spot. Denny Hamlin exited out this race, 35th. Derek Cope, 34th. Greg Gaulding, 33rd. J.J. Yeley, 32nd. Landon Castle, 31st. Cole Witt, 30th. Eric Jones, that late spin off that final restart, that final caution of the afternoon, came home at 29th. It's been a rough couple weeks for Eric Jones, especially with coming off of probably a potential big weekend Coca-Cola 600, but that couldn't do it. With that, Ross Chastain, 28th. Alex Bowman, 27th. Cole Custer, 26th. Ryan Newman, 25th. Daniel Suarez, 24th. Ty Dillon, 23rd. Allmendinger, 22nd. Michael McDowell, 21st. Clint Bowyer, who was in the top 10 throughout most of the day, battled a loose race car, 20th. Kurt Busch had his struggles late. Really, pretty much, really, all day. He gets around here pretty good, but not his day, 19th. William Byron, 18th. Chris Buescher, 17th. David Reagan, 16th. Jamie Mack, 15th. Ricky Stenhouse, 14th. Matt Kenseth, 13th. Austin Dillon, 12th. Paul Menard, 11th. Your top 10, Chase Elliott, Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Eric Almirola, Ryan Blaney, Brad Keselowski, quiet top 5 for him. Harvick winning stage 2, Kyle Busch, Larson, and your winner is MTJ, Martin Truex Jr. Alex Bowman, I might have skipped him. Excuse me for that. Alex Bowman, he finished 27th with that late contact with Denny Hamlin and Cole Custer, who ran the Xfinity Series race, of course. 26th spot. That is your full field rundown of this race right there. Pocono 400. Martin Truex Jr. closing the deal. Led a total of 31 laps. The second led most laps to Harvick's 89. And yes, Kevin Harvick stressed out the fact that he lost control of that race when I believe Kyle Busch got around him. But the most important part, though, MTJ making a statement there. If not already, if he didn't make a statement at that Fontana win, he sure as hell made a statement yesterday. And, oh yeah, I'm the defending champion of the sport. You better not go to sleep on a 78 machine. Take a look at the standings, the regular standings now, as we head to Michigan. Kyle Busch extended that lead a little bit on Harvick. Now it's 87 in the regular season playoffs, regular season standings. Joey Logano is third. Then Mark Trish Jr. moving up another spot is fourth now. Brad Keselowski, fifth. The back end of this top 10 include Clint Bowyer, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, Larson, Ryan Blaney, around the top 10 rare in the standings right there. And oh, by the way, Truex gets a third stage win of the year. I know he's way behind on that, but the most important part, though, getting the five more playoff points to add to it. 13 in the books. Yes, 13 playoff points for MTJ. Thank you. Going to Michigan now, where Michigan has eluded Truex and Pernod Company for the last couple of races up there, and they'll look to seal the deal and try to deny Larson 4 in a row. Of course, Kyle Larson will have that. He has quite a bit of momentum going up there to Michigan, looking to do that. And of course, last time we're at a big 2-mile sweeper. Of course, I just talked about it, mentioned it a few times. 78 rolled on through the field and knocked it out of park in California. He'll try to do the same there. The Pocono Xfinity Series race, tell you, it was just like watching a normal, boring-ass race. The package, it wasn't up for the challenge. Truex said it yesterday. It was a disappointment to see that. I mean, we can't fall for trying. I mean, we had all these expectations about the package. Even myself, oh, man, it's going to be close racing. Why not? We did not see that. When I came home, I turned it on halfway through stage one and saw the field spread out. I'm like, damn. This is just like watching a cup race. Everybody spread out. But we saw here and there some good pieces of racing here and there, especially at the end of stage two. I have something about that at the end of tonight's podcast. But that's all I saw was spread out and the same winner in victory lane again, the Kyle Busch Xfinity Series, like I usually say on a podcast. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time on a podcast, Kyle Busch, every time he gets in to the Xfinity Series, he always dominates and wins these races, and I always call it the Kyle Busch Xfinity Series. He did that, leading 64 laps. It doesn't matter what package it is. Kyle Busch out here wanted to check a flag. He took it, but, excuse me, he fails. The team fails. Post-race inspection with the ride height rule. So again, we're having this issue, and we're probably going to hear more in the middle of the week, but the 18 team, the Xfinity Series, is going to get tagged for not passing post-race. So again, the dreaded L1 penalties come back and bite you in the butt. So, but Busch will get the win, but doesn't matter now because that team got hit with a post-race failure. Chase Elliott finished 23rd. Excuse me. That's car number. My bad. Finished in a runner position. The leading Xfinity regular, Daniel Hemric. When are you going to win an Xfinity Series race? Time is ticking on you, bud. I love you, but at some point, you gotta, joking aside, you gotta win a race. But he's been consistent. Third, Austin Cindric, the story in this race for me. Austin Cindric, he ran at Pocono in the truck series with Brad Keselowski last year, and he was really impressive to me. Austin Cindric getting it done in that 12 for Penske, finishing the top five. Cole Custer rounds out the top five. Elliott Sadler, Mr. Top 10, 6th. John Hunter Nemechek, 7th. Paul Menard, 8th. Tyler Reddick, 9th. And fireworks man, Ryan Truex, in the top 10 there, in the 10th position. So there is your top 10 on that end. The Spectrals, just looking around at some notables real quick. Here, Cass Grawl is 16th. And then down here, Brandon Jones, who's in contention for a top 5, finished 24th in this race. And then down at the bottom, very bottom, Michael Annette, 35th. Christopher Bell, 32nd. 36, excuse me, and Justin Allgaier, he and Bell try to make it four wide, try to make it happen, backstretch. That did not work out. We know, try to go four wide. I think four wide try to work at Pocono. It's wide enough, but Bell, Allgaier couldn't get situated, and it looked to be, to me, by the way, contact with teammate Elliott Sadler from behind. That's what it looked like to me. They were talking about Dylan Lupton making contact there, but I thought the contact was first from the one car of Sadler. It doesn't matter though. Allgaier still hit the wall. Finished 37. That's a look around for that as well. So all three divisions, we will have preview later on this week. Trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup Series before it's a week off. Triple header weekend. That should be a fun weekend. This weekend, looking forward to it. And of course, checking out the points regular season style. Sadler plus 62 on new place, new second place man, Cole Custer. Daniel Hemric is close behind third. Man, second and fourth, it's really tight. Custer, Hemric, and Reddick, and Christopher Bell round out the top five there. Bell's been going for the rest stretch as well, but there is the Xfinity Series roundup. EG3 show, just a few more minutes on the post-race pod episode here this evening with you guys here. Just trying to run down the line here, see if I haven't missed anything. I pretty much got everything. So now, time to look around for the EG3 helmet stickers of the week here. And I have Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Eric Almirola, Daniel Hemric, Austin Cindric, and Shane Lee's performance caught my eye in that series. So that is EG3 helmet stickers this week. And Shane Lee, he finished 12th in the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. That was impressive for RCR. Your EG3 helmet stickers of the week: Truex, Larson, Almirola, and then Cindric. Going, I go back here for a second. Hemric and Shane Lee, EG3 helmet stickers of the week. And of course, the NBA Finals, Warriors up 2-0. And I'll go through this a little bit deeper later this week on the midweek episode of the podcast. But Cavaliers going home down 0-2 in that series. There, as the series switches gears to Cleveland. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple more minutes on the podcast. Real quick, before I get to my white and red flags, EG3 show on Facebook, facebook.com/EG3 show for the latest there. And of course, Podcast Center. You can catch the EG3 show on many of the podcasts except for a few, but you can catch the EG3 show on Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes. Please tell your friends, if you're a follower of the EG3 show, get the word across about it. EG3 show. Subscribe, rate, and review. And of course, we're on iHeartRadio as well. Please check that out as well, along with a couple other podcasts as well, like Lap Traffic, Loose Lugnut Podcast, PETM, The Moat Podcast as well, and a couple others I'm leaving out as well. Please check them out. Put them in your lineup daily. Check them out. You know what it is, EG3 show. And of course, I said it on the preview show, I'm going to say it again. Because the numbers continue to rise every day for the EG3 show. So, I put it like this. If we reach 1,000 listens, I will interview a driver on my choice, of course. And I have a few in mind. So, I have not interviewed a driver on this podcast for quite a while since last year. So, since I believe the beginning of last year, probably a lot Las Vegas, I think. But yes, it's been a while since I did that. So I have a few drivers in mind that I want to interview get on this podcast. So if you get the word out, that helps the show out as well. If you listen to this podcast, that will be tremendous. And I can interview a driver of my choice right there. So yes, get the word out. EG3 show, you know what it is. Join the movement on the EG3 show. My other motto, join the movement, EG3 show. We are moving. Train is moving to Michigan here later on this week. Real quick, white and red flags before I head out. White flag, of course, Martin Truex Jr. winning the race, of course. And then the other white flag, Kyle Larson stopping to help a friendly get gas to the minivan and get the family. He talked about it towards the end of his press conference there, helping out a family or whatever get on their way. A minivan ran out of gas at a dangerous mark on the road. Helped them, went to get gas. That's an act of kindness right there. Sincerely right there. 100% genuine right there. Helping out a fellow family friend or an unfamiliar friend, but either way, though, still, though, going out of your way, getting gas for somebody, that is big time. That earns a white flag in my book right there. And a red flag of the night, it's got to go to, I have not catched the full story yet, but I'll talk about it probably a little bit on the midweek. I'll probably say this, but the red flag, though, caught this during the race also. My goodness, the pace car in the IndyCar series wrecks. How in the world? What happened? I don't know the full details of this, but I don't believe that has to be a first for me. I don't know if situations happen often, but this was a first for me. I'm like, what? The pace car wrecks. You're supposed to be the 100% no damage, or at least save for many damage, but apparently either the driver got careless or something must happen, but that's a big no-no in any type of series. But that's a red flag. Whoever was in control of that pace car did not have complete control. like we've been saying all this podcast, all this episode tonight, Harvick did not have complete control of this race, and that driver of that pace car definitely did not have control of that car, and they had to stop the race for a little while there. So I have to read up on that here tonight at some point and see what happened. That's crazy there. So, but anyways though, but ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up for the post-race podcast, EG3 show style, right here with yours truly, Eddie Greer III. Thank you for tuning into the EG3 show podcast this evening. Congratulations once again to Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. Bring home the checkered flags this weekend. We'll be back on next time for midweek stage weekly break as usual. And of course, I'll get you updated on my vacation on what my plans are for that. But we got to close the garage for tonight. Thank you for tuning in to the EG3 show. We'll talk to you next time. We out.